Quality for DevOps Teams. This audiobook gives an overview of the contents of the book, Quality for DevOps Teams, that is the core of the TMAP body of knowledge for quality engineering and testing. This book was written by an international team of over 80 people from 11 different countries. The core team of authors consists of Riek Marcelis, Berend van Veenendaal, Dennis Gertz, and Wouter Ruigrok, who all work at Sigeti in the Netherlands. The book was published in 2020 and its third edition in 2022. This audiobook was published in 2025. The copyrights of the book and this audiobook are with Sigeti BV in the Netherlands. The overview in this audiobook consists of the introduction texts of each of the 48 chapters of the book. This way, it gives an impression of all of the contents of the book. The complete book is available as hardcover version and an electronic version in EPUB format. This audiobook was created using the 11labs.io voice generator. Foreword by Patrick Dubois, the man that coined the term DevOps. In this book, we see that modern organizations have changed. Instead of relying on the strength of individuals, they aim for high-performing teams. By following, you build it, you run it. These teams put quality dead center because they would feel the pain of issues themselves. On their trip across the whole enterprise, the authors show us how DevOps made an impact on the concept of quality in all different aspects of the daily work of an IT worker. It is easy to confuse DevOps with faster delivery, where in fact it is as much about fast as it is about quality releases. Foreword by the authors. 2020. Deliver value with the right quality at speed. That's what organizations ask of their IT teams. To achieve this, IT people need to work closely together. Cross-functional teams of business analysts, developers, testers, operations people, and other involved areas of expertise join forces to work towards business objectives. Collaboration is key. Collaboration between people that have a shared responsibility and pick up the tasks that need to be done, based on competences and roles, no longer worrying about official functions. The DevOps culture is the enabler for this way of high-performance IT delivery, using an automated CI/CD pipeline to deliver at speed. But how do you deliver value with the right quality using DevOps? This book and our website www.teap.net enable teams to implement quality engineering practices using our body of knowledge that contains various approaches, practical examples, and concise explanations. We trust that teams will benefit from this and enhance their collaboration to deliver value to their stakeholders. Forward to the third edition, 2022. In the years since this book was launched, thousands of people have read and used it. Many of them have provided us with feedback, some just to thank us and praise us for the useful content. It was our pleasure. We are happy that you find it useful. And others informed us about faults or suggested additions, for which we are very grateful, and we use it for the continuous improvement of TMAP. Another source of inspiration for us were the in-depth conversations with participants in the TMAP training courses, who not only learned about, but also challenged the contents of this book and the TMAP Body of Knowledge website. In this third edition, we have taken the opportunity to add new content. For example, because we had new experiences and felt that these needed to be added. We trust this third edition will continue to support and inspire people in their IT delivery work. And if you have any feedback, please don't hesitate to contact us. If, by the way, you want to know more about the TMAP training courses, please visit https://tmap.net/TMAP training. And for information about exams and certification, please visit https://tmapcert.com. Forward to this audiobook, 2025. The TMAP Body of Knowledge celebrates its 30th anniversary in 2025. This audiobook is made available via the TMAP website to anyone interested in TMAP. We thank everyone that contributed to the TMAP Body of Knowledge and look forward to a bright future of this solid support to quality engineering and testing. Chapter 1. What value will you find in this book? Organizations can only be successful when properly supported by IT systems. People involved in the creation and use of IT systems face many challenges. Updates and changes have to be delivered faster than ever before. The right quality is vital to maintain service in our 24/7 economy. User experience should be right first time to retain customers. Teams need to deal with these challenges, integrating quality measures throughout the IT delivery process and using tools to deliver at speed. Information technology, IT, has made giant technological leaps forward and still evolves at an incredible pace. The way IT systems are created and delivered has also evolved. Today, IT systems are preferably delivered incrementally with frequent adaptation to new business needs and user expectations, and with increasing speed, supported by state-of-the-art tools. We should keep a close eye on what it is all about, delivering software, which will generate business value, at the right time with the desired quality. This book provides information on how to build in quality and establish a level of confidence so that the pursued business value can be achieved, as described in our VOICE model. We call the modern iterative incremental way of creating IT systems high-performance IT delivery. High-performance IT delivery is an approach that enables cross-functional teams to continuously improve the products, processes, and people that are required to deliver value to the end users. The title, Quality for DevOps Teams, demonstrates that this book is primarily meant for those that want to deliver quality solutions in a DevOps setting. Although IT is often about tools and techniques, people still make the difference between dissatisfaction or success. Do you work in a high-performance IT delivery approach, such as DevOps, and do you want to make sure you deliver value to users by assuring the right level of quality? And do you want to establish the level of confidence that the pursued business value can be achieved? Then you will find great benefit in the valuable ideas, approaches, and experiences in this practical book. TMAP website. The TMAP body of knowledge is easily accessible on the website www.tmap.net. There are also numerous books available in the TMAP series. Books are static. IT delivery landscapes are changing faster and faster. We therefore aim to keep the website up to date. You can find most of the content of this book on this website, as well as many in-depth explanations, additions to the content of this book, and up-to-date overviews of relevant tools. In addition, the quality assurance and testing topics are worked out for other IT delivery models. In summary, this book is supportive of the website, which is constantly updated and adapted to changed IT delivery landscapes and new insights. We wish you a lot of useful insights and good luck with applying TMAP knowledge in your situation. Chapter 2. Successful high-performance IT delivery depends on people. The IT industry is often still struggling how to leave the Tayloristic era of industrialization mindset, where people were not supposed to make their own decisions, behind. Managers are shouting about digital, agile, disruptive, but many large systems development organizations still assume that value is created by tools and processes operated by people. Otherwise, people cannot be trusted, estimated, or replaced. In today's modern world, in the age of global markets, human beings are the dynamic part of the value creation. People need to understand that they are in the driving seat, in all aspects, and in all contexts, and in all layers. Not only consumers, but also engineers, developers, operations people, quality engineers, testers, product owners, etc., are human first. The Agile Mindset, Agile Manifesto 2001, shows that people with a clear mission, working together in teams and across teams, can create awesome results. That is the main promise of high-performance IT delivery models such as DevOps. What we strive for is to move quality engineering and testing away from the industrial age and help organizations move quality engineering and testing into the age of global markets where people come first, at scale. This means picking up where the human-driven approach of TMA PhD started off and extrapolate that message even further. To go from there is actually people working in your processes towards here is how you enable people to become awesome at delivering value to users. Empower the team. They build it. They run it. That is the main idea of bringing people together from various backgrounds into one team. This approach is called DevOps, a combination of the words development and operations. Keep in mind that DevOps is supposed to be a truly cross-functional way of working. In DevOps, all competences that are needed to go from the very first ideas to the actual implementation of, a part of, an IT system have to be present. And teams need to collaborate if they create and support IT systems that are beyond the scope of one team. This can only be done by using the right tooling. DevOps teams strive to automate as much as possible, and what cannot be automated yet is done as early as possible. The organization must enable teams to work this way. This can only be done by good use of tooling. An example of this in DevOps is infrastructure as code, which demonstrates that everything must be controllable from the keyboard of the team members. DevOps is not just about being cross-functional. It is also about the ability to create and deliver fast, cheap, flexible, and with adequate quality. The team as a whole is responsible for the quality. They should be intrinsically interested in quality assurance and testing. This is one of the major breakthroughs in high-performance IT delivery. Everyone in the team is in some way involved in quality engineering and testing activities. An example of this is refactoring, improving the code without making functional changes, initiated by the team. Chapter 3, The Voice Model. Today's organizations expect that their IT systems will enable them to generate business value. This business value may be financial, but can just as well be a value in any other quantitative or qualitative way. To be able to specify the pursued value, people in the organization will detail their objectives. These objectives must be measurable to some extent. Therefore, indicators define a way to gain insight into specific objectives. Measuring these indicators is done by testing and other quality and value measuring activities. This testing results in information based on which the people involved can form an opinion and determine to what extent they are confident that the pursued value can be achieved. After the decision has been made to use the IT system, the organization can experience the real value. This experience will be used to further improve the value in the organization. The voice model is about establishing the level of confidence that the pursued business value can be achieved. It consists of five terms: value, objectives, indicators, confidence, and experience. This is visualized in the VOICE model. This is a generic model relevant for all kinds of IT delivery lifecycles that support business delivery. VOICE is an acronym of value, objectives, indicators, confidence, and experience, terms that together describe how to implement delivery of business value. High-performance IT delivery teams, such as in DevOps, also use the VOICE model as a foundation to structure and organize their work. In these teams, one of the many task groups is quality engineering. This book will support you in organizing and performing the quality engineering tasks within your high-performance IT delivery team, irrespective of whether you see yourself as a developer, an operations person, a business analyst, a systems architect, a tester, a product owner, a coach, a manager, or whatever other role or function. We strongly believe that high-performance IT delivery teams have capabilities as a team. The capabilities of the people in the team contribute to the team as a whole, and tasks can be performed by various team members. One team member may be more skilled than another, but that is no reason to only provide work to the team member with most experience and skills. Think of all tasks as a team effort in which each team member plays a role. And keep in mind that teams have team skills, and team members have personal and interpersonal skills. Read more about skills in Part 6. Chapter 4, Indicators in the VOICE Model. The indicators in the VOICE model are the starting point for determining the needed testing activities and other quality measuring activities. Definition: an indicator is a quantitative assessment for comparing or tracking the current state or level of the product, or a part of the product, together with the business process it supports, and of the IT delivery process and of the people involved. Indicators are used to determine whether the business value and the IT objectives are achieved. Of course, the objectives that the team must achieve, and which will be measured based on these indicators, can vary a lot. Therefore, the following list of examples of indicators is by no means intended as complete. It merely shows ideas for creating your own indicators. Note: both the terms indicator and metric are used in TMAP, with different meanings. Read more about this in the last section of the topic, Metrics, section 24.8. Chapter 5: Introduction to Quality and Testing. What is quality? What is testing? And how can we make stakeholders and team members care? These may be the basic questions you have when wondering about a methodical approach for quality engineering of information technology, IT systems. In today's world, many people and organizations rely on IT systems. Many things would not be possible without IT systems. So, we need to be able to trust that these IT systems are working good enough to support business processes. This means that the quality must be at the level that fits the purpose and delivers business value. Quality is the totality of features and characteristics of a product or service that bear on its ability to satisfy stated or implied needs. If we want to know if our IT system indeed satisfies the needs, we must measure the quality. We need to define quality indicators and measure these indicators. Most of this measuring is a testing task. Since in Scrum or DevOps, quality is the responsibility of the whole team, this measuring of indicators can be done by any team member that has the required quality engineering skills. Definition: testing consists of verification, validation, and exploration activities that provide information about the quality and the related risks to establish the level of confidence that a test object will be able to deliver the pursued business value. Testing is one of many quality assurance measures and was often seen as the only quality assurance measure. Since the start of information technology, the quality of information systems has been an often discussed subject. When faults exist in IT products, ranging from mistaken requirements, specifications, to wrong program code and broken hardware, failures may occur, and people will not get the services they need. Testing helps detect faults and failures so that they can be fixed before they cause problems for the users. And as part of all quality measures, testing supports the prevention, identification, and elimination of waste. Monitoring is another quality assurance measure. Monitoring observes indicators of an IT system that is in live operation. Testing observes indicators primarily before an IT system goes live. Chapter 6: CI/CD Pipelines and Tooling. In DevOps, a CI/CD pipeline needs to be implemented. CI/CD is the abbreviation of Continuous Integration/Continuous Deployment. Sometimes continuous delivery is used instead. CI/CD is seen as the backbone to enable DevOps. It bridges, maybe even closes, the gap between development and operations by automating the building, packaging, testing, provisioning of infrastructure, and deployment of applications. In addition to CI/CD, there are of course other aspects, pillars, that bridge the gap between dev and ops. See Chapter 9, High Performance IT Delivery Models, for more explanation about DevOps. In this section, an example CI/CD pipeline is explained. Continuous, everything is explained. The needed capabilities in a CI/CD pipeline are mentioned, and examples of CI/CD tools are given. Chapter 7: Overview of IT Delivery Models. An IT delivery model is a conceptual framework which supports a software development process and describes all assets and competencies. The exact description differs per model. Think of needed IT skills, resources, tools, policies, procedures, methodologies, infrastructure, management, human resource functions, and delivery processes. For simplicity reasons and readability, we use the generic term model. Although we are aware that some models are called framework, culture, mindset, approach, etc., we distinguish three groups of IT delivery models: sequential IT delivery, high-performance IT delivery, and hybrid IT delivery. Since the high-performance IT delivery model, especially the DevOps culture, is leading in this book, we will explain DevOps in a lot of detail in Chapter 9, High Performance of IT Delivery Models. The other models are explained briefly below and in a little more detail in Chapter 8, Sequential IT Delivery Models, and Chapter 10, Hybrid IT Delivery Models. For more details and the relationship with test topics, please go to the website. Chapter 8, Sequential IT Delivery Models. In this chapter, two sequential IT delivery models will be explained in more detail: Waterfall and the V model. Chapter 9, High Performance IT Delivery Models. High-performance IT delivery is an approach that enables cross-functional teams to continuously improve the products, process, and people that are required to deliver value to the end users. If there is no continuous feedback about quality and risks, the development approach cannot be seriously called iterative, because the result of an iteration is only shippable if the stakeholders can establish their confidence based on proper information. TORT 2019. In this section, two high-performance IT delivery models will be explained in more detail: Scrum and DevOps. Other models that we have also classified under high-performance IT delivery are Lean, Agile, Kanban, and Spotify, which doesn't mean you cannot use these models in other IT delivery models. Based on our experiences, we see that the meaning of these models and possible relationships between these models are not equally clear to everyone. For this reason, a brief overview is presented, following the explanation of Scrum and DevOps, on how we regard these models and how we apply them in this book. Please see Section 9.3, Other High-Performance IT Delivery Models. Chapter 10, Hybrid IT Delivery Models. A hybrid model is the combination or integration of two separate but coherent delivery models. Two of many reasons for an organization to use a hybrid model are: the organization is transitioning from one model to another and is using a combination of models while making the transition. The organization is very large and therefore has to organize the collaboration of a great number of teams. In this chapter, we discuss two hybrid models. The first model is known as the demand/supply model. The second model is Agile at Scale. Chapter 11, Introduction to QA and Testing Topics. Every IT delivery model, framework, mindset, organization, etc., has its own development approach, workflow, phases, roles, work products, and/or activities. On top of that, one could try to impose a QA and testing model on all these different approaches. But that does not seem to be the best way to proceed. Therefore, we defined a set of generic QA and testing activities, the so-called topics, which are applicable, in one way or the other, to all these different IT delivery models. Using these topics, the right level of quality can be defined to be built in, and the quality of an IT system can be assessed based on indicators, as described in Chapter 3 and Chapter 5, which is mainly done by testing. This will ultimately result in information which stakeholders use to establish their confidence level, whether the pursued business value will be achievable. Definition: a topic is a set of generic activities for a specific theme that are always relevant for quality engineering, regardless of the applied IT delivery model. Chapter 12, Introduction to Organizing QA and Testing Topics. Quality engineering consists of a great number of related activities. We grouped these activities in topics. Topics are grouped in organizing topics and performing topics. The organizing topics are aimed at orchestrating, arranging, planning, preparing, and controlling the quality assurance, QA, and testing activities. In sequential IT delivery models, the organizing topics would fit with the profile of a quality manager or test manager. In high-performance IT delivery models, most organizing topics will be done within the team. Some topics are more suited to be done by the supporting staff organization, or so-called system teams. Chapter 13, Introduction to Performing QA and Testing Topics. Quality engineering consists of a great number of related activities. We grouped these activities in topics. The topics are grouped in organizing topics and performing topics. The performing topics are aimed at the actual operational QA and testing activities. In sequential IT delivery models, the performing topics would fit with the profile of a test engineer. In high-performance IT delivery models, most performing topics will be done within the team. Some topics are more suited to be done by the supporting staff organization, or so-called system teams. Chapter 14, Topics Plotted on the IT Delivery Models. In this section, you will find some frequently used IT delivery models in which the QA and testing topics are integrated. The IT delivery models are grouped in sequential, 14.1, high performance, 14.2, and hybrid, 14.3, models. For more information, please see part 2 of this book. This book focuses on DevOps teams. Still, we find it important to briefly describe how the QA and testing topics fit in other IT delivery models. If you're interested in the DevOps implementation only, please refer to the section High Performance IT Delivery Models in this chapter. There you will find a cross-reference between topics and DevOps activities. The details about implementation of the topics for DevOps are described in detail in Part 4 and Part 5 of this book. The other IT delivery models are only briefly described in this chapter. For more information, please refer to the website www.tmap.net. Chapter 15, Quality and Test Policy. Finding the balance between quality, innovation, and a short time to market is a challenge. A quality policy and test policy strengthen the bridge between the IT team and business people. For business people, the mission, vision, and strategy of the organization are the starting points for developing and improving business processes. Where these processes are supported by IT systems, the IT delivery teams need guidance. A quality policy and test policy translate the mission, vision, and business strategy into the principles, approaches, and objectives that describe how an organization deals with the people, resources, and methods involved in the quality and testing process. Why would an organization that has implemented DevOps, which puts responsibilities in the teams, still want an overall policy? Because we work in autonomous teams, teams should have some minimum level of guidance so that they do not have to reinvent wheels. This makes teams happier and perform better. Although some people might feel that the team is almighty and should work in full freedom, for the organization to realize business value, there needs to be alignment between the teams. Effective freedom can only exist within certain frames. This can be facilitated by implementing a quality and test policy. It is really important that the test and quality policies are made in cooperation between teams and the organization. Only then do these policies have value for everyone. A well-thought-through policy that is supported by the teams will prove to be a win-win. Both the teams and the organization benefit. The people involved may implement the quality policy and the test policy separately. However, our advice is to combine them in one high-level document. A well-designed and implemented quality and test policy offers a number of advantages. It gives the people involved direction and a frame, or reference, in organizing quality assurance work in connection with the desired quality level. Also, it aligns these activities with the IT activities in general. The quality and test policy forms a basis for quality improvement by increasing uniformity across IT delivery teams, and it promotes consistency of working across teams. In addition, it contributes to reducing costs through the reuse of among other things, test processes, and reducing the need for training. The quality and test policy describes the policy choices of an organization and should address a number of subjects. Chapter 16, Responsibilities and Roles. In DevOps, people should work together closely, and the team should have the required people to make the project successful. So, a well-balanced set of skills and competences is required to be successful as a team. Every team needs to have expertise in the required competences. No one needs to be the expert in all competencies, as long as at least one person in the team is the expert for each relevant competency. Or, if not present in the team, this competency should be readily available from a system team, shared services, guild, center of expertise, etc. Besides this, everyone in DevOps should understand and adopt the 6 DevOps principles, see Section 2.2.1, and practices. Working in cross-functional DevOps teams also means that all team members should be prepared to take on any of the roles if necessary. For instance, a developer has to be willing to take on a testing role if the need arises, especially if there is time pressure on the testing activities. On the other hand, testers should be willing to assist other team members in their activities where they can, according to the project's needs. This may require specific technical skills and knowledge from a tester. Working together is a two-way street and requires the willingness to learn from each other. And always keep in mind, collaboration is about communication. Communication is about transmitting, receiving, understanding, and acting. Without proper communication, a team won't work as a team. When talking about responsibilities and roles in DevOps, in respect to quality and testing, we advise to apply the following 3 guidelines. For a detailed description, refer to Chapter 25, Continuous Improvement. Create quality awareness with all people involved. Integrate QA and testing activities in all DevOps activities. Integrate QA and testing activities in all people involved. In the following sections, you will find a description of common roles, an alternative competence model, and the changing role of testers. Chapter 17, Monitoring and Control. In the DevOps way of working, with multiple autonomous teams, it is of critical importance to have a good and continuous transparency on actual quality levels of the IT systems for all levels of stakeholders, such as the business owner, product owner, but also the team members. Real-time and smart QA dashboarding with predictive elements and a customized dashboard for each stakeholder are therefore an essential tool for any DevOps organization. Monitoring and control are intended to promptly identify, report, and forecast gaps in expected and actual quality related to the pursued business value. Data is therefore collected from the organization's IT systems or infrastructures, processes, and controls, both within the scope of teams as well as across the organization as a whole, and even beyond the limits of the organization if integrations with other organizations exist. Monitoring involves using analytics and other feedback data to ensure that the controls in place are functioning as designed and configured properly, transactions are properly processed, and that there are no gaps or errors in an application's underlying infrastructures. Definition: Monitoring is continuously gathering feedback, using tools, of the indicators of the IT system throughout the IT delivery cycle, and use that information to forecast the behavior of the IT system. Definition: Control is to take adaptive measures, based on monitoring information, to ensure proper behavior of the IT system throughout the IT delivery cycle. Chapter 18, Anomaly Management in DevOps. When there is a difference between expected behavior and actual behavior of a system, we call this an anomaly. An anomaly has to be investigated, and when the cause of the anomaly is found, it can be fixed. If the anomaly was caused by a fault in the IT system, then a change to the IT system is needed to fix the problem, and maybe even data in the database has to be corrected. If the anomaly was caused by an error during testing, then the test has to be changed. After fixing an anomaly, the test involved is retested to confirm that the fix has indeed solved the anomaly. At the same time, a regression test is often done to confirm that the fix did not introduce any new problems. Definition: an anomaly is a difference between the expected behavior and the actual outcome of a test. This is registered so that the cause can be analyzed and resolved. Definition: a problem is a cause, or potential cause, of one or more anomalies or incidents. There are many words used as synonyms for anomaly, e.g., defect, incident, issue, bug, problem, finding. We, however, have chosen to use the IEEE 1044 term anomaly that is most unprejudiced and unbiased. IEEE 1044. Anomalies can be the result of dynamic testing, but also the outcome of reviews and other static testing activities. Chapter 19, Reporting and Alerting. DevOps teams want to, and need to, have constant and direct insight into the status of the IT system. And if something, either in product or process, deviates from the expectations, they must be alerted as soon as possible. Therefore, DevOps teams will use state-of-the-art tools for reporting and alerting, where online real-time dashboards are today perceived as need-to-haves. Usually, there are multiple audiences for the information that the team generates based on their quality engineering activities. This information is supplied to the stakeholders to enable them to establish their level of confidence that the pursued business value can be achieved, and to determine if the IT system is ready to be released and deployed. There are three levels of reporting applicable to most organizations. The information has to be provided in the right form for the involved stakeholder, ranging from very detailed for team members to very aggregated high-level reports for business managers. Supplying information is a very important result of QA and testing. But to truly add value, this should be complemented by alerting the right people if action is needed. A basic level of alerting is found in the anomaly management system, where the registration of an anomaly triggers various actions concerning investigation and fixing of such an anomaly. On higher levels, alerts may trigger stakeholders as soon as there is a likelihood that certain goals will not be reached. Such alerts should come at the earliest possible moment, that is, as soon as there is a clear trend towards an undesired outcome. It is advisable not to wait with the alert until the target is actually missed. A timely alert will help perform corrective actions to bring the situation back in control. The most sophisticated level of alerting is reached when prescriptive analytics are used that give an alert when the quality is forecasted to go below a certain threshold, so that the people involved can fix a problem even before any user has observed a failure. Chapter 20. Estimating the effort. The team wants to know how much effort they will need to put in delivering the part of the IT system that the product owner and other stakeholders require, so they need to estimate. Based on this estimate, the product owner, together with the team, can prioritize and decide in what order the tasks will be put on the backlog. What is a good estimate? A good estimate is an estimate that stakeholders find sufficiently reliable to use for making decisions. And a good estimate includes all relevant aspects by involving or representing all relevant people. An estimate indicates a range rather than one number. It is an approximate calculation of what the answer is likely to be. For example, the realization of this user story is half the size of a reference user story that was 13 story points and took 20 hours. So this will be 8 story points and take somewhere between 8 and 12 hours, probably around 10 hours. A budget is never exact. When making a budget, preferably use methods based on historical data. A characteristic of most DevOps and Agile estimation techniques is that it is not estimated in exact hours, but in points. Estimating points gives a relative estimate of an activity from the past. So, instead of estimating whether it is 16 hours of work or 32 hours of work, it is twice as much work as a previously realized user story. To arrive at a good estimate, it is essential to estimate on a relative scale with the whole team approach. Estimates are better supported when a consensus is reached. An open conversation between the team members is essential in order to reach this. With such an approach, a learning curve is automatically integrated that ensures that we learn from the previous estimate when making the next one, which makes the next estimate more accurate. In this way, the estimation not only leads to a more accurate estimate, but also to knowledge transfer and commitment of the entire team. Besides the estimation techniques, there is one other important aspect when planning a sprint. See Chapter 21. The concept of velocity. Definition: the velocity is the average amount of work, often measured in story points, that the team can perform in one sprint. Based on experience, the teams are only allowed to deliver items from backlog based on the previous sprint velocities. The estimation is therefore automatically refined every sprint. In DevOps, or in agile approaches generally, there are various estimation techniques. In this section, we cover four popular techniques: planning poker, t-shirt sizing, swim lane sizing, bucket sizing. Dot voting: leave the team to choose its own estimation approach if the team has a common understanding of what must be estimated, e.g., analysis, design, development, testing, including test design, test execution, test automation if applicable, etc. The more traditional estimation techniques are often also applicable, and therefore an overview of these techniques is provided at the end of this section. When estimating the effort, the team members must take into account that the effort for QA and testing activities will differ depending on the quality risk of the test object. Where the development effort for two units of software that have the same size will be similar, the QA and testing effort may differ, because with a high risk, there will be more effort for QA and testing than with a low risk. So, the total number of points in the estimation will differ. The team needs to be aware of this when applying any of the estimation techniques in this chapter. Chapter 21: Planning the Delivery. Together with the product owner, the team can plan what they can deliver and by when. This results in the product backlog and the sprint backlog. The team knows how much effort needs to be spent, for example, for the next release, based on the estimate. For example, in story points, and the team's velocity, number of story points that can be delivered in a sprint. In DevOps, all activities, including QA and testing activities, are planned together. No separate planning is made. There is a lot of choice on how to make the plan and schedule the delivery of features. Incorporating the test plan into this planning is crucial. For more information on test plans, see Chapter 11, Introduction to QA and Testing Topics. Much has been said and written about planning in literature, especially for software development approaches, about possible planning methods. In this section, we describe some of the most popular planning and prioritizing approaches, that is, two agile planning approaches, fixed and adaptive, and three prioritizing approaches, MOSCOW, WSJF, and Kano model. Chapter 22: Infrastructure. The provisioning and setup of test environments and everything that comes with it is a major point of concern for DevOps teams in most organizations. This is because in DevOps, the responsibility for the infrastructure has shifted from a separate department to the DevOps team itself. As a result of this shift, some important parts of the infrastructure's quality become a team responsibility. Knowledge of the infrastructure helps the team to ultimately improve the quality of the IT system as a whole. To achieve this, it is essential that every team member has a basic understanding of the IT system's infrastructure and its constituent parts. As described in the World Quality Report, WQR 2019, organizations are discovering that just putting the responsibility for test infrastructure with the individual teams often does not bring the best results for the organization as a whole. Organizations need to create a greater awareness of the issues that surround test environments. These include mappings, integration points, and configurations that will make them fit for purpose. Organizations will benefit from implementing cloud-based test environments, but also virtualized, containerized, and temporary but non-cloud-based test environments. Creating the relevant strategies, such as a virtualization strategy, cannot be expected from individual DevOps teams. Therefore, the organization will need a specialized support team that, amongst others, with the use of automated provisioning technologies, assists the DevOps teams in provisioning fit-for-purpose test environments. Apart from making the work of the individual DevOps teams more effective, in the end, this will also raise the cost efficiency for the organization. Definition: test infrastructure consists of the facilities and resources necessary for the satisfactory execution of the test. It consists, among others, of test environments, test tools, and workplaces. Definition: a test environment is a composition of parts, such as hardware and software, connections, environment data, tools, and operational processes in which a test is carried out. A topic closely connected to test infrastructure is test data management. This is described as a separate topic in Chapter 31. Chapter 23. Tooling. For DevOps teams to be able to efficiently deliver IT systems, end-to-end test automation that is fully integrated in the CI/CD process is essential and a prerequisite for achieving good quality at speed. But many DevOps or other agile teams struggle to achieve a good level of automation of their quality engineering activities. The World Quality Report, WQR, 2019, shows as an important challenge: lack of guidance makes that many teams decide independently which tools they will use, which leads to a proliferation of tools in the organization. Also, the decision what to automate and what not is not sufficiently considered. In the DevOps culture, the teams strive to automate as many tasks and activities as possible. Therefore, tooling is a prerequisite for all activities in DevOps, so it is much broader than just test tooling. We will start this section with test tooling and then provide a more general overview of test tool capabilities and tool support needed in DevOps. In these sections, we also give some examples of tools. However, since the world of tooling evolves very rapidly, please see www.tmap.net for an up-to-date list of tools. Chapter 24, Metrics. A DevOps team wants to be in control. Therefore, the team needs to measure relevant parameters. The resulting metrics give useful information about the status and are a starting point for improvement measures. So the team needs metrics related to what they want to control and what they want to improve. Quote, "What is not defined cannot be measured. What is not measured cannot be improved. What is not improved always degrades." By William Thompson, Lord Kelvin. What are metrics and why and how do you use them? This is explained in the first section, together with the fundamentals of good metrics. Then, in the next section, the relation between metrics and continuous improvement, and how to define a set of metrics is explained. In the sections that follow, we will present four sets of DevOps metrics. The first is a non-exhaustive list of metrics for effectiveness and efficiency. The second set is part of the DORA 2019 benchmark model, with which the performance level of your DevOps organization can be established. The third set contains the top 20 QA DevOps metrics as collected by Forrester 2019. The fourth set is a long, non-exhaustive list of raw metrics you can choose from. Keep in mind that these are just example sets. You can find other sets on the intern. Chapter 25, Continuous Improvement. DevOps teams work in an ever-changing world where the common expectation is that quality and speed improve. They constantly need to improve their way of working and adapt to change circumstances. Quote, "Change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change." By Tony Robbins. Continuously improving delivery processes is not a new approach. Lean manufacturing and the Japanese manufacturing approach, called Kaizen, have been applied to improving factory processes for decades. Continuous improvement is advocated by all agile approaches. DevOps does not deviate from this. As everything in DevOps, executing continuous improvement is a whole team responsibility and works best in a sustainable, continuous improvement culture. The focus must be on products, application, processes, activities, and people, skills. In this section, we will describe how to establish a continuous improvement culture and how you could continuously improve the application, the DevOps activities, and the skills of the people involved. Chapter 26, Quality Risk Analysis and Test Strategy. Where should the team focus their QA and testing activities? What should be the priorities of their tasks? To answer these questions, the team needs to investigate the quality risks involved with the IT system they are creating or changing. When there is a high risk, more effort will be put in QA and testing. When there is a low risk, they will spend less effort. Definition: a quality risk is a specific chance that the product fails in relation to the expected impact if this occurs. The chance of failure is determined by the chance of faults and the frequency of use. The impact is related to the operational use of the product. The product to be tested is analyzed by means of a quality risk analysis with the aim of achieving a joint view for all stakeholders of the risky characteristics and parts of the product to be tested. This joint view on identified risks is input for determining the test strategy. Definition: a test strategy is the allocation of quality measures to balance the investment in testing and to make an optimal distribution of effort over test varieties and test approaches to give insight in test coverage and test intensity. Often, this is based on the quality risk levels and the pursued business value. There are many approaches to perform a quality risk analysis and to determine a test strategy. In the DevOps-focused test strategy approach, as described in this section, Risk Poker is used for achieving a joint view on the risks. You can visit www.tmap.net or search the internet for other approaches. Risk Poker is an extension of Planning Poker, described in Section 20.1.1, which is often used for agile approaches, such as DevOps, in order to prepare an estimate relating to the size of the backlog items, for example, user stories. Major differences are often encountered in respect to story points assigned by different participants. This is mostly caused by varying insights of the poker players concerning the required test efforts. A solution to achieve a better understanding regarding these test efforts, as well as ascertaining a more unambiguous size estimation of a user story, is through playing risk poker, more specifically, assessing the story risk. Risk poker is done just before planning poker. Risk poker, just like planning poker, requires a whole team approach, which means that all team members will gain insight into, as well as achieve better understanding of, all the ins and outs of the various testing tasks. In short, just like planning poker, risk poker, besides assigning story points and risk points respectively, gains added value from conversation. To determine the test strategy, the results of quality risk analysis are added to the risk table. The result is referred to as test strategy table. Chapter 27, Acceptance Criteria. A cross-functional team, which is common in DevOps, will agree to deliver an IT product with a specific quality level. This quality level is defined by the acceptance criteria. As soon as the product meets these criteria, it is done. The acceptance criteria are specified per user story. The definition of done will define that a user story is done when all acceptance criteria have been met. The product owner is the primary stakeholder to be involved in defining the acceptance criteria, see Section 5.6, but the team will assist on this. In high-performance IT delivery, a common way to describe the individual deliverables is by creating user stories. These have three critical aspects: the card, conversation, and confirmation. Jeffries 2001. The card holds the short and basic information of the user story. The conversation is an exchange of thoughts, opinions, and feelings between the stakeholders and the team. This may result in supporting documents. The confirmation is the way the stakeholders will confirm that the team has delivered what they expected. This is measured using the acceptance criteria. The acceptance criteria are defined in terms of quality characteristics and quality risks. Definition: acceptance criteria are the criteria a test object must satisfy to be accepted by a user, client, or other stakeholder. Acceptance criteria will help the team understand what is included in the scope and what is not in scope of the user story. The acceptance criteria may relate to just one user story, for example, when the acceptance criterion is related to a specific piece of functionality. On the other hand, acceptance criteria may also be related to multiple user stories, to epics, or even to the entire system or the whole organization. In that case, the acceptance criterion can be included in the definition of done so that it does not have to be repeated for each user story. The DoD typically evolves over time as teams are improving their way of working. An acceptance criterion in the DoD may, for example, be related to a non-functional aspect, such as security. Chapter 28, Quality Measures. Quality was, is, and remains a challenge within the IT industry. The DevOps team must actively work on quality engineering. Quality engineering consists of a great number of possible activities, the so-called quality measures. After all, quality must be built in, not tested in. Within quality engineering, testing is the instrument that can provide insight into the quality of information systems, so that test results deliver a contribution to the improvement of the quality of information systems and thus to delivering the pursued business value. Definition: a quality measure is a group of activities that is aimed at achieving a certain level of quality. Chapter 29, Reviewing, Static Testing. Optimistic people may think, what could possibly go wrong? Realistic people will answer, anything. DevOps teams are aware that in the process of IT delivery, many things can go wrong. If a product is created and without second consideration deployed to the users, unpleasant surprises may happen. Therefore, every product should be looked upon by another team member than the person that created the product. It's amazing what someone else sees in a product of which the author is convinced that it is perfect. In this chapter, you will see that executing tests on a ready-to-deploy product can reveal problems, but that it is much more effective and efficient to first review these products. These reviews are part of static testing. Chapter 30, Test Design. Good testing needs proper preparation. Think before you test, is the adage. Therefore, before starting to execute dynamic tests, tests have to be designed first. The starting point for test design is the test basis that usually consists of requirement specifications, such as user stories. But in some cases, little or no documentation is available, and the test basis has to be gathered by interviewing people or observing a business process. From the test basis, the team members, in the role of tester, derive and create test situations, test cases, and test data. The team members involved group the test cases in test scenarios and create test scripts for automated test execution. For detailed information, see Part 8 of the book. Remark: in this chapter, everywhere where the term tester is used, this is in the sense of a DevOps team member that has the role of tester. Any team member can act as a tester. Test design is usually done in parallel with the system development activities, so that the test scenarios and test scripts are ready when the system is deployed to be tested. Definition: test design is the complex of activities to create test situations, test cases, test data, test scenarios, and test scripts. We use the term test design to refer to both structured testing using coverage-based testing techniques and to less structured testing using experience-based testing approaches, such as exploratory testing. Even in exploratory testing, some test design activities are performed. The testers do not create an entire set of test cases up front. They just design one or few test cases and immediately execute them. Exploratory testing is further explained in Chapter 47. In coverage-based testing, the team will apply test design techniques to be able to have an efficient process of test design. This will result in an effective set of test cases of which the coverage can be demonstrated and explained so that the quality risks will be adequately mitigated. The selection of the right test design technique, says, is key. The team can use their own specific test intensity table to guide them in this selection. For more information, see the test intensity table building block at www.tmap.net. More information about test data management can be found in Chapter 31. The topic test design is a very broad topic that requires extensive explanation. The process of test design and the test approaches and test design techniques are further explained in Part 8 of this book, starting at Chapter 43, Introduction to Test Design, and on the website www.tmap.net. Chapter 31, Test Data Management, TDM. DevOps teams need to do many varieties of testing. Some test varieties, such as performance testing, need a high volume of test data, but the exact data doesn't matter that much. Other test varieties, such as end-to-end testing, require a relatively limited set of test data, but the values of the data must be carefully aligned across various systems, possibly even across multiple organizations. This topic describes an overview of test data management, TDM, which includes a set of test process supporting practices based on the ISO 27000 Information Security Standards and General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR. The implementation of the right test data management practices is a key consideration for the realization of significant time and efficiency gains in quality assurance and testing. Provisioning proper test data is also one of the main bottlenecks to achieving continuous testing in DevOps. According to the Continuous Testing Report, CTR survey, 55% of respondents are currently spending between 30 to 60% of their total testing time on test data management activities. For actual reports, refer to tmap.net. This is an inordinate amount of time, and most organizations have realized that addressing this one area will dramatically improve the speed and efficiency of the entire software development lifecycle. Such efficiency considerations, along with legal requirements such as GDPR, privacy and security concerns, are driving important changes in test data management. Chapter 32, Test Automation. The demand for continuous feedback has created a renewed focus on test automation, for example, due to developments within IT technology as a whole and commercial aspects. The popularity of agile approaches, from Scrum to DevOps, and agile at scale, is one of the main drivers of this development. There is a need for continuous improvement and quality at speed, which consists of three pillars: shift left, continuous testing, and continuous feedback loop. Automate everything you can is one of the six DevOps principles. Nevertheless, we still see many teams struggle with effectively applying automation in testing. One of the reasons is that it is often only focused on automating the execution of test scripts instead of the broader scope of automation in testing. For example, when people talk about test automation, people tend to directly select a test automation tool and try to use this to automate their current manual test script. They forget to look at things like which people will work with it, what problem they are solving with automation, what is the value of automation for the business, and what is the impact on the current process. Implementing the tool becomes the goal on its own instead of improving the quality of products, processes, and people. Automation in testing is one of the main opportunities to meet the need for speed. Still, it also requires a structured approach with accelerators to realize such a vision effectively. This can be achieved by addressing challenges like business alignment and automation maintenance. In this chapter, we discuss which quality engineering and testing activities should be automated and which test varieties should be organized, supporting shift left. We describe the following subjects: continuous testing, current test automation solutions, test orchestration, supporting continuous feedback loop, smart frameworks, and everything as code automation. For supporting tooling examples, see Chapter 23. For the up-to-date tooling list, refer to www.tmap.net. Chapter 33, Test Execution. The actual execution of a test can start at the point when the test object is deployed to the relevant environment. In a CI/CD pipeline, the automated test will start automatically as part of the process. In other situations, a team member must start the execution. Definition: test execution is the execution of tests by running the system under test, and thus obtaining the actual results that can be compared with the expected results to determine whether the tests have passed or failed. This is part of dynamic testing. The first step in test execution is to make sure the test object is properly installed and all preconditions, such as availability of the right test data, have been fulfilled. This is often done by performing a pretest, also known as intake test or smoke test. Definition: a pretest is testing the delivered product in such a way that it is determined whether or not the product is of sufficient quality to execute a complete test of this product. When the team has created test scenarios and/or test scripts, the test execution will execute many test cases together and investigate the results after execution. When the team does exploratory testing, test cases are designed and executed iteratively, and the result is investigated after every test case execution. Chapter 34. Investigate and assess the outcome of testing. When the team members execute the test scenarios and test scripts, they compare the actual outcomes with the expected outcomes. When the outcomes match, the test was passed, the quality risk is covered, the requirement implemented, and they can inform the stakeholders this part of the pursued value seems to be achievable. When the expected and actual outcomes do not match, the test has failed. A quality risk has materialized, and the requirement is not yet implemented. The team now reports to the stakeholders this part of the pursued value is not yet achievable. Note that the reporting to the stakeholders will usually be done in an automated workflow that is part of the anomaly management system. When a test fails, this often means that the rest of a test scenario cannot be completed, and therefore some of the test cases will not be executed. Test execution, therefore, has three possible outcomes for a test case: pass, fail, or not run. When the test case passed, the team member in the role of tester registers this, or with automated testing, the test tool will take care of this registration, and there will be no further action. When the test case failed, the tester will need to do some investigation. In automated test execution, the test script will also contain the automated check of the expected and actual outcomes. Differences will be reported so that the team members can do their investigations. We would like to note that the expected outcome may be a very specific result, for example, an exact number. Today, however, we also get to test intelligent machines that involve machine learning, by which it may be difficult to exactly specify the expected outcome. In that case, some sort of expectation should still be defined before executing the test, because even a rough idea of the expectation can be used to check if the system is working according to expectations. Chapter 35. Description of quality measures. The quality measures described below are a detailed description of the quality measures as mentioned in Chapter 28, and can be used independently as part of quality engineering, as well as to cover risks, as described in Chapter 26, Quality Risk Analysis and Test Strategy. The list of quality measures described in this chapter is not exhaustive. For more information about other quality measures, please visit www.tmap.net. The quality measures that are described in the sections of this chapter are Root Cause Analysis, RCA, Specification and Example, SAE, Test-Driven Development, TDD, Pair Programming, Pairing, Review, Test Design Techniques, Feature Toggles, Monitoring, Parallel Testing. At the TMAP website, you can download the Quality Engineering Strategy template that contains a list of more than 100 quality measures. We were not able to describe all of them in this book, unfortunately. Chapter 36. Personal, interpersonal, and team skills. People have a wide variety of skills. To be effective in a high-performance team, people need to be cross-functional, which means that the people in the team need to understand and perform all the tasks of the team. This doesn't mean that each person in the team needs to be an expert on all topics. It does mean that the team should not fail when one team member is temporarily unavailable. Good collaboration starts with psychological safety. Psychological safety is being able to show and employ oneself without fearing negative consequences of self-image, status, or career. Kahn, 1990. In a successful team, there is freedom to admit mistakes and failures. We learn from mistakes and failures in a collaborative way. We do root cause analysis on process rather than focus on individuals. When keeping psychological safety in mind, you could say, if there is no status loss or fear of negative consequences for stepping up and stating you did something wrong, the emphasis remains on fixing, learning, and growth, not on possible punishment, because even failing to learn is a failure that can then be discussed in those terms and acted upon later. You can read more about psychological safety in the building block on www.tmap.net and in section 7.6 of the syllabus for the training course, TMAP, Organizing Built-In Quality at Scale. To ensure a safe environment in the team, people should use the power of the four walls, which is the concept of taking the team from open spaces to a private space, without overhearing, where people can discuss, learn, and grow together. Besides offering a safe environment for giving feedback, it is also useful in conflict resolution, brainstorming out-of-the-box ideas, and reflection. The team needs to have all necessary skills available. This means that team members need to have a variety of skills at various levels in such a way that together they have all the needed skills. Some skills will be very specific, in which case the team may also call in the help of people from outside the team. Think of the execution of a penetration test by a specialized security expert. In being effective at the testing tasks while working towards their result, the team must keep the goal in mind, which is delivering value. Communication itself is never the goal, although a tester, gene, team can take up some communication tasks. 1. Collecting data from static and dynamic testing. 2. Creating information from this data. 3. Facilitating communication about the information. 4. Triggering action based on the information. All of this requires a wide variety of different skills, of which we will give an overview in the following sections. We do, however, want to emphasize that this overview is by no means a complete list, because specific situations call for specific skills. In this chapter, the following personal, interpersonal, and team skills are described. Collaboration techniques. Expressing yourself. Team values. Unfavorable team behavior. Learn fast. Exploring. Skills matrix. High-performing teams get support from the staff organization. T-shaped, pie-shaped, comb-shaped, and beyond. Test professionals change in mindset. Chapter 37. Make sure there is variety in your testing. Quality engineering is a broad area. Many different activities contribute to the end result. But how can a team determine what has to be done? Quality engineering, for example, involves the approach to requirements specification, to software development, to operations, and also to testing. Sometimes team members have the misconception that testing is just one straightforward activity. But it is not. People are different, projects are different, systems are different, environments are different. So it would be an illusion to think that one size fits all exists for testing. You need variety in your testing. But how? What should be your focus when organizing your testing? All testing activities should collectively cover all important areas and aspects of the system under test. That's the main objective. Different people involved have different needs and expectations. Arranging your test varieties means having an overview of these needs and expectations and the relevant testing activities to fulfill those. This chapter will help define the necessary variety from different perspectives. There are many different possible reasons for bringing variety to testing. The sections below are by no means a complete overview of all possible considerations. You will have to determine the necessary variety in your specific situation. The term test variety aims at making all stakeholders aware that there will always be different needs for testing, and therefore different varieties of testing will have to be organized. Whether these are organized separately or combined depends on the situation. Test varieties are defined based on the relevant quality characteristics and other relevant perspectives. Definition: A regression test is a test aimed at verifying that all unchanged parts of a system still function correctly after the implementation of a change. Definition: A progression test is a test of new or adapted parts of a system. Definition: A retest is to execute a previously failed test case to verify whether a problem has been properly fixed, also called confirmation test. For an overview and description of the quality characteristics, please refer to the appendix of this book. Chapter 38: Performance Testing. This section describes an overview of performance testing. This is a set of test varieties based on the ISO 25010 quality characteristic performance, or rather, performance efficiency, as the ISO standard calls it. Definition: Performance efficiency is defined as performance relative to the amount of resources used under stated conditions. ISO 25010. Chapter 39. Usability testing is a test variety based on the quality characteristic usability. Usability is the degree to which a product or system can be used by specified users to achieve specified goals with effectiveness, efficiency, and satisfaction in a specified context of use. ISO 25010-2011. Usability testing is an important test variety for creating an intuitive system, leading to productive, efficient, and satisfied users of that system. It is generally an iterative process where different techniques should be employed throughout all phases of a project. This way, the final product becomes optimally suited to the demands and the needs of the end users. It is generally better to start testing the usability earlier rather than later. If there is no possibility to test early, testing late in the process is highly preferable to no testing at all. Still, by testing early, one can prevent unnecessary expenses. Usability testing, also known as user experience testing or UX testing, covers a wide range of techniques that are applicable to different phases or iterations of a project or system lifecycle. For instance, personas can be used during requirements elicitation, while observation can take place as soon as there is a product that can be used by a user. This may be a mock-up during early stages and a partial or even complete product during acceptance. These techniques may be executed by usability specialists, such as a heuristic evaluation on a functional system, together with end users, or by user researchers, such as an observation of users interacting with a prototype of a system. This can even be done in a group setting, such as a walkthrough of a design with a focus group of users, developers, and designers. It is advisable to start with the planning, specifically for usability testing, to determine which techniques will be used in particular phases of a project to cover all quality risks related to the usability of a system. When you work in sprints, you can make usability testing part of the sprint because there are usability testers in a team. It is also possible to work with a separate team of specialists and researchers to support other teams when they need it, or proactively follow other sprints to provide advice and support. Chapter 40: Security Testing. This chapter describes an overview of security testing, which is a test variety based on the ISO 25010 quality characteristic, security. Definition: Security is the degree to which a product or system protects information and data, so that persons or other products or systems have the degree of data access appropriate to their types and levels of authorization. ISO 25010. Chapter 41: Maintainability Testing. teams are often focused on the cost-effective development of IT systems. In the total cost of ownership, the maintenance costs are often much higher than the development costs. In DevOps, the team should find a proper balance between development and maintenance costs. Quick and dirty development, which causes a lot of technical debt, may result in higher total costs than well-designed and well-engineered systems. Therefore, a focus on maintainability is essential. A good architecture and structure greatly benefit the maintainability. Maintainability testing is a test variety based on the ISO 25010 quality characteristic maintainability. See the appendix for the ISO 25010 standard. Definition: maintainability is the degree of effectiveness and efficiency with which a product or system can be modified by the intended maintainers. Chapter 42: Mutation Testing Tests the Test. Testing is about assessing the quality of a product. Testing itself also has products, for example, automated unit tests. Can the products of testing also be tested? Certainly, and they should be tested. But how can you verify if a test is good? There are multiple ways. A review of the tests is definitely a good quality measure. By executing the tests, can you determine whether the tests are working? And how can you see if the tests are complete? To some extent, this can be done by mutation testing. Mutation testing is a type of testing where certain statements in the source code are changed, mutated, to check if test cases will identify the fault that was introduced this way. This is a manner to verify the quality of the test set, instead of the test object. Chapter 43: The Many Aspects of Creating Tests and Exploring a Test Object. Quality engineering consists of many different tasks for a DevOps team. A part of quality engineering focuses on building quality into the IT system. Another part of quality engineering assesses the quality of the delivered IT system. Part 8 of this book, Test Design, focuses on the creation and execution of tests, such as specifying test cases and performing exploratory tests. Creating some tests and executing them may sound easy, but structured testing requires careful consideration of what to test and how to test it. We use the term test design for the complex whole of these activities, even though in some approaches to testing, there is no actual upfront design involved. Test design can be as simple as hitting some keys unprepared and see if a system works at all, ad hoc testing. And it can be as sophisticated as identifying test situations, assuring coverage by designing test cases, automating these in a test script, and executing the script to automatically create a test report. Both unstructured testing and structured testing will contribute to establishing confidence that the IT solution will be able to deliver the pursued value. The preferred approach very much depends on the situation, especially with the quality risks involved. We do, however, already want to emphasize that a structured approach to testing is generally better than unstructured testing. Remark: in this book, everywhere where the term tester is used, this is in the sense of a DevOps team member that has the role of tester. Any team member, and even people beyond the team, can act as a tester. Chapter 44: Test Design Entities. In coverage-based test design, we use a number of different terms for specific entities in the test design. There are logical relationships between these entities. Knowing these relationships will help to specify your tests in the best way. Definition: a test situation is an isolated condition under which the test object displays a specific behavior that needs to be tested. Test situations are derived from the test basis. This may be a document, or it may be input from a stakeholder, for example, in a message or an interview. Definition: the test basis is the information that defines the required system behavior and is used as a basis for test design. Definition: a test case is a set of preconditions, inputs, actions, expected results, and postconditions used to examine whether the system displays the desired behavior under specific circumstances. A test case is used to examine whether the system displays the desired behavior under specific circumstances. A test case can therefore show whether a system indeed behaves as described in a test situation. Definition: a test scenario is a sequence of physical test cases to manually or automatically execute them in an efficient manner. Definition: a test script is the test automation code related to one or more test scenarios to automatically execute tests. Chapter 45. Test Approaches Applied. The test strategy defines the intensity of, specific parts of, the testing of the test object. This test intensity is achieved by applying test approaches and test design techniques. Definition: a test approach is a way of working for designing and executing tests. There are two groups of test approaches: experience-based testing and coverage-based testing. In the following sections, we will describe the coverage-based testing approach and the groups of coverage-based test design techniques. We will then share some examples of combining approaches and techniques. The experience-based testing approaches are described in Chapter 47, Experience-Based Testing. Chapter 46, There Are Many Techniques, Which One to Use? The decision which test design technique can best be used can be very well prepared. It is never a random or ad hoc choice. The team has performed a quality risk analysis and now has insight into the areas with higher and lower risk. Usually, there is a need for higher coverage when there is a higher risk, and less coverage where there is a lower risk. This is often described in a test strategy. A test strategy describes the allocation of quality measures to balance the investment in testing and to make an optimal distribution of effort over test varieties and test approaches to give insight in test coverage and test intensity. Often, this is based on the quality risk levels and the pursued business value. A team could create a test intensity table once, see www.tmap.net, to guide the team members in the choice for test approaches and test design techniques. The final choice depends on many variables, for example, the pursued business value. For example, when this is crucial to the whole organization, the team will select a thorough technique, whereas when the business value is relatively low, the testing will be not very intense. Furthermore, with a higher business value, there will usually be more budget available for testing. But don't forget that with a very low business value, which would lead to believe that there is little budget for testing, there still may be high quality risks. Often, when the risk is high and the value is low, it is better not to develop the feature in the first place, using the saying, no risk, no test, no development, see below. The kind of testing challenge at hand often relates to the coverage group from which a test design technique should be selected. For example, if the challenge relates to testing data, a technique from the coverage group data should be selected, such as boundary value analysis. But if the challenge is related to a system with various states, then state transition testing is a good choice. The quality risk level. With a high risk, a technique that gives higher coverage should be selected. With a low risk, a technique with lower coverage will suffice. Or, with low risks, the team may choose to only apply an experience-based approach, such as exploratory testing. The available test basis. Most test design techniques have specific requirements for the information needed to derive test cases. If the test basis does not contain that relevant information, another technique should be chosen, or the test basis should be extended. The available time. If there is enough time to do proper test design upfront, a test design technique is applied. If there is hardly any time available, an experience-based approach, such as exploratory testing, can be applied. The skill level of the team members involved. In many cases, there is more than one test design technique that could be applied. It is wise to select a technique that team members are skilled at. Otherwise, training or coaching should be arranged. And in your specific situation, there may also be other considerations possible to choose for one or more test approaches and test design techniques. And keep in mind that coverage-based testing should always be combined with experience-based testing in some way or another. Chapter 47, Experience-Based Testing. The test strategy defines how intense, specific parts of, the test object must be tested to be able to establish the required level of confidence that the pursued business value will be achievable. This test intensity is achieved by applying experience-based and/or coverage-based test approaches. In the following sections, we will describe the experience-based testing approaches. Please keep in mind that in practice, it is always wise to combine both coverage-based testing and experience-based testing. The coverage-based testing approach and the test design techniques are described in Chapter 45, Test Approaches Applied. Exploratory testing is an experience-based approach of testing, the most important approach of experience-based testing, in our opinion. We distinguish coverage-based and experience-based testing. Others use terms like scripted testing and freestyle testing, but we prefer the division in focus on either experience or coverage, with the advice to always combine both coverage-based and experience-based testing. Of the described approaches of experience-based testing, exploratory testing is the most versatile. Definition: exploratory testing is simultaneously designing and executing tests to learn about the system, using your insights from the last experiment to inform the next. In other words, every form of testing in which the tester designs his tests during test execution and the information obtained is reused to design new and improved tests. Testing is about creating and executing tests, but more importantly, it is about obtaining information about quality and risks, all of that to ultimately establish confidence that an IT solution will bring the expected business value. Exploratory testing is very well suited to support that confidence because of its interactive nature and the possibility to involve various stakeholders. Chapter 48. Is there any value in unstructured testing? Generally, testing experts advocate to always structure your testing. You probably learned not to do unstructured testing. In many organizations, a lot of the testing is still unstructured. There must be some value in unstructured testing. In some situations, unstructured testing may seem like a good choice. When the test object is a system of really bad quality, why would you prepare? Anyone with some IT knowledge can do some tests by hitting some keys, and because of its bad quality, will find many faults and failures. As soon as the developers start complaining that they don't have time to investigate and fix all these anomalies, the stakeholders will think the testers have done a wonderful job. Now take the other example. When you have an IT system that is of good quality, the testers do their unstructured testing and don't encounter any faults or failures. Can they now say the quality is good and that there are no significant risks? Did they really measure the quality and risks? No, the only thing they can truly say is they did some testing and didn't find any problems. However, they cannot explain which requirements or quality risks have been covered. They are not even sure which parts of the system have been covered. Their information is mostly useless to the stakeholders in their attempt to establish the confidence that the IT system will be able to deliver the pursued value. How can we avoid unstructured testing? There are a few basic actions that can assure that any testing is at least somewhat structured. First, do some serious thinking about the goal of the testing. What information needs to be given? Then think about how this information can be obtained. Which test ideas, test situations, and/or test cases would help you get this information? Then design and execute the tests in a formal or less formal way. Be sure to register the tests that are done, especially the expected and actual outcomes. And finally, structure and present the information in such a way that the stakeholders can use it to establish their confidence about whether the system is able to deliver the pursued value. Appendix: Quality Characteristics and Non-Functional Testing. When deciding on their test varieties, many testers start with distinguishing between functional testing and non-functional testing. This refers to the quality characteristics. These are a very useful tool to identify various characteristics of quality that are important for the stakeholders of an IT system. Functional testing usually takes up most of the effort and time spent on testing. Often, however, the non-functional testing gets less attention than it should, because many IT failures relate to non-functional problems, such as a performance that is too slow, poor usability, bad security, or insufficient compatibility with other systems. And since there are quite a number of non-functional quality characteristics, it's important to carefully consider which non-functional testing is needed, because the possible choices of test varieties for non-functional testing are enormous. Defining and verifying the right quality level for IT systems is important to provide business value and to avoid potential negative consequences for the stakeholders. The quality characteristics are defined in the ISO 25010 standard and consist of a group of characteristics that relate to the quality of the product as it is, and a group of characteristics that relate to the quality of the product while it is used. In a separate section, we will describe the quality characteristics for product quality that we have added specifically for defining and testing systems that include machine intelligence, such as AI, machine learning, and robotics. As described in the book, Testing in the Digital Age, AI Makes the Difference, by Tom Van de Ven, Rick Marcellus, and Humayun Shokat, 2018. The last section of this appendix is dedicated to sustainability. This is a quality characteristic that has rapidly become very important for organizations. Some people see sustainability as already represented in the quality and use characteristics of the ISO 25010 standard. See Section A.4, Freedom from Risk, Environmental Risk. We noticed, however, that sustainability as it is perceived today encompasses much more than just mitigating the environmental risk. Sustainability is also related to the economic and social impact of IT. Therefore, we decided to describe it as a main quality characteristic in its own right. Conclusion of this audiobook. TMAP is the body of knowledge for quality engineering and testing. It consists of a website, a series of books, and a training and certification scheme. Accredited TMAP training providers can deliver TMAP training courses in 4 different languages. Across the globe, there are thousands of TMAP certified people on all continents. Visit the body of knowledge on www.tmap.net. Good luck in applying TMAP in your daily practice.